It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. Do you know what? It's time for us to talk outdoors again. We're going to go down to Lake Fork here in just a little bit with guide Seth Vanover. I had a trip down there just a few days ago for catfish with Seth, and we caught a bunch of them. Actually, there's a newspaper column this week locally in the Greenville Herald Banner and a bunch of other papers where we go into some detail, Seth does, with some tips on catching summer catfish. But just a second, Seth's going to be with us. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. That website is biggame.org. The Sniper Hog Lights, that is Sniper, H-A-W-G, lights.com. Hoffpower Polaris down in Galway, Texas, that is hpolaris.com. And Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas. Now let's go in down to Fork and see if we can catch Mr. Seth Vanover. Seth, are you with us at the boat dock this morning, buddy?
I sure am, Luke. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for being with us. I want to tell you, I had a great time fishing with you here about 2 days ago. We caught a ton of channel catfish, and I thought we could devote today's show, Seth, in giving people some tips to help them catch some catfish. You know, the three primary species of catfish here in Texas, they're all fished for a little differently, a little different baits. You know, blue catfish in the winter, that's kind of known as the trophy time. You can catch blues in the summer in lakes that's got a lot of blue catfish in them, such as Texoma, Tawakoni. But for catching bigger channel catfish during the summer months, I don't know of a place that's any better than Fork. Now, a lot of lakes have a healthy population of channel catfish, but you know, Seth, we've talked about this before, but on the average, fish are just a little bit bigger there at Fork, aren't they?
They really are. Fork's kind of a hidden jewel when it comes to channel cats. You know, our population is outstanding, and the size is well above average in any lake around us.
It really is, and you know, we I think sometimes catching channel catfish is honestly, I think it's oversimplified, or people try to make it it's not rocket science. It's not hard to do, but there's a few things that you've got to do right in order to be successful. One of them is get in the right depths for the time of the year you're fishing, right?
That's it. I mean, it's not rocket science, but if you're not in the right areas, doesn't matter what you do. You got to be in the right spot.
I know it. And right now, Seth, from what I've learned fishing with you here in a couple of days ago, was the depths are somewhere a little over 20 foot, you know, 24 foot, somewhere in that range, right?
It is. Most of our channels are coming between 22 and 25 feet. You know, a lot of people think that's a 3 foot difference. Well, it makes a difference. It really does.
Say you were going out to Fork or any other lake. Your people are listening to us that don't just fish Fork. They Tawakoni, Texoma, other lakes. We were fishing the edge of an old submerged creek channel, and all creek channels, you know, most creek channels before the lakes fill had some timber on them, a lot of hardwoods, and we were tied up. Actually, I know that old tree we were tied to at one time was shading the banks of the creek. So creek channels are good spots to target, right?
Oh, yeah. It's right now, it's really your depth. It's not so much your points or your creek channels. Mm-hmm. In the heat of the dog days of summer like we are right now, it's depth. You can't be too shallow and you can't be too deep. And that's all because of the thermocline, but that's another subject. But right now on Fork, it's between 22 to 25 feet.
Now, how about, you know, depths, like you say, I understand that. But how about relationships to drop-offs, ledges, submerged ledges, creek channels? I mean, is that a factor? I know they're staying down because of the thermocline. The oxygen is right there, you know, at that level. But do you think the abrupt drop in bottom contour is any factor at all for finding concentrations of them?
Not now.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Not presently, but there are times of year where it does make a big difference that we're just not in it right now. Right now, it's all about a constant depth of 22 to 25 feet.
That's what it's all about right now. The spot we fished the other day just happens to be, that's where I know they are.
Uh-huh, right. It's a spot that you keep baited out. We're going to get into baiting areas with grain, too, here in just a little bit, Seth. But in other words, we didn't have to move. We caught all of our catfish from one spot. We tied up one time, folks, and we never moved. We didn't have to move. But say, for instance, we weren't going to that spot, and there was 20 acres of timber, standing timber in water, 24 foot deep.
Okay.
Just for instance, if you pulled up to the outside to a big tree and tied up, once you concentrated those catfish with some sour grain or whatever, I mean, you feel like that would be as good a place to start as any, right?
It really would. Right on Fork, it would. Now, you know, lakes differ, but I can tell you exactly what to do on Fork. If you find a spot like you're describing, make sure that water depth is 20 to 25 feet. And, like, if there's a bunch of timber out there, like you're saying, find the biggest one you can find, the biggest tree you can find, and the catfish will naturally congregate around the biggest tree that you can find. And if you start dropping grain down there, it's just going to concentrate them even more.
We're talking about the bigger trees. They are going to provide more shade, you know, underwater and above water, you know. Do you think that's a factor in the heat of the summer, the shade that's provided by some of the structure?
That's a huge difference. That's what they're there for, is the shade. You know, as the bait fish will concentrate near the shade, and, you know, then here come the catfish, you know, and every other fish. But that's the main reason that you look for those big trees, is the shade factor.
Well, that makes sense, and I've noticed myself, it's almost instinctively when I'm fishing around a tree trunk or something, most of the tops of in our lakes are older, you know, and the timber's dead a lot, all of it's dead, but, you know, I always seem to gravitate to the shady side if I can and just drop the baits down, and it seems to work, too. Well, as far as baiting holes, I know that you can take a bait out, good catfish bait, and in a good lake like Fork without baiting holes, and you can catch catfish, and often quite a few. You might have to move around a little bit more, you know, to find some, but baiting holes is to me, I mean, it's almost, it's a surefire way of getting them in there, isn't it?
It really is. If you bait a hole, if you take the time to do it, and it's not hard, you know, go get you some onion sacks from your local grocery store and drop it about half full of some range cubes or whatever your favorite bait is. Drop it down there and come back in a half hour. Now, the way I do it with unfamiliar lakes is I find three spots that I like, you know, the right depth, everything that I like. I'll bait one hole, then my second, then my third. And by the time I got my third one baited, I come back around and I fish my first one. A lot of times, I'll never leave my first one.
They'll be congregated on it, you know.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right. And as it was, the hole that you had baited, they were waiting on in line to get to our bait. So, you know, we didn't have to look, which is good. But now, when you're actually baiting, do you ever, say, range cubes? I know you can just scatter them out, toss out, you know, a coffee can full of them, or you can put them in a burlap bag and sink them, can't you?
Yes, sir. I put them in a burlap sack, and the reason that is, if when they hit, the catfish will get down there and start sucking on them and just kind of spread them out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep them in a burlap bag or an onion sack or anything like that, it keeps them right there. And you saw the fish we were catching the other day, all of them had mouths full of that stuff.
They did, you know, the wet range cubes. It was obvious what they in their stomachs that they'd been eating on. So they can get that out of that sack by just continually eating on it, can't they? You know.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you got any kind of a porous sack, mm-hmm. They're going to get it out of there.
Well, another way to bait that I've done successfully is to sour grain. Now, whether that is a real interesting subject, whether soured grain pulls them in any faster than, say, range cubes. Both of them, I fished over both of them, and honestly, I can't see any difference. In my mind, I think, okay, a catfish has all kind of scent sensors on his body. I've studied them a little bit. They've got way more. Their skin is actually one big nose, is one way to put it. They can sense smell in the water. But, you know, I think, well, okay, now, if that's the case, let's put some sour grain down. You know, you would think that the sour grain would be easier to detect, but in practice, fishing over the two, I honestly can say I can't tell any difference, Seth.
There's really none. The only reason I use sour grain, and I do use it, but the main reason I use it for, let's say that hole you and I fished the other day, if I had not baited, I keep that hole kind of baited all the time, but I know when I got a trip coming, I really bait it. But let's say I just wanted to go out and catch some for myself that day, and I hadn't baited the hole. I'll take a little bit of that sour grain and chunk it out there, kind of get them going, because I know they're there. It'll just kind of get them feeding. You know, that's all the same thing with the range cues, but the sour grain, it's just another technique that I use.
It's a good trick to have in the repertoire there for sure, and the fact is, it works. We've only got about 3 more minutes, Seth, for our show today. Tell them how you rig up for channel catfish when you're fishing vertically straight down.
Okay. The way I do my rigging is it's a time-saving measure is why I do this. You know, I've got anywhere from 15 to 17-pound test because you don't know what kind of channel catch you're going to hook into. But on the bottom of the line, I hook a number 4 treble, okay, and about 18 inches to maybe 2 feet up, I tie on just Palomar knot in about a half ounce bell weight, and that's it.
In practice, the reason for that longer, we'll call it a leader, but the distance from the bell sinker down to the hook, the reason for having some extra length on that, you know, you're going to lose some hooks. You're going to have some catfish that you have to cut the line at their mouth. You know, that's going to happen. You've got more line to work with. If you only had, say, probably you could get by with 6 inches from the weight down or 4 inches and do the same thing. But the first time you cut the line, you're going to be short on line. So a very good tip, Seth. Go ahead and leave yourself 18 inches or whatever, you know, and that way you've got line to work with, right?
That's it. If you have to cut the hook off or you bend the hook and you, you know, whatever, you need to replace it, you got some line to work with.
Now, we've got enough time. I'm going to mention baits for catfish. You know, you're a big proponent of using chicken liver, and I brought some punch bait along just because I had it. It's good. It's a good punch bait that I'd used before, but truly, the liver, the punch bait, I couldn't see any difference. I mean, the thing I like about the liver, it's readily available, it's dirt cheap, and it stays on the hook well. You know, I mean, I know that that's your go-to bait for channel catfish is liver. I can see why, Seth. It works, and you can get it anywhere, can't you?
Yeah, it's cheap. Like I said, if you don't want to spend a whole lot of money, it's the best bait to use. The punch bait you brought the other day, I'll have to admit, I'm impressed with it.
Well, it's good really bait. I worked with the company about 6 years ago with a team of guides that they were actually conference calls and everything else. I think they went through 12 different formulas till they got that. But it is a good punch bait. Seth, let's leave your website and a phone number for people that want more information on catching largemouth bass down at Fort Crappie, or right now just go down there with you and sack up a bunch of channel cat. How do they contact you?
You bet. My website is lakeforkcatandcrappie.com, or you can reach me anytime at 903-736-4557.
Seth, thanks a lot for your time, buddy, and we'll get you back soon. How about it?
Thanks for having me, Luke. Look forward to it.
Folks, we are out of time. Do remember catfishradio.com. You can listen to the archive of our hour-long show we do each week. And in the Greenville Herald banner locally up here in Northeast Texas, you can read about Seth this week. Make sure and tune in. Next week, we'll have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.